I'm Sergio Correa, International Senior Business Development Manager at Suter Group, and you're listening to the original Suter Group podcast. Today, I'm joined by International Controller at Suter Group, Paul Widdop, and CFO at Foundation Consumer Healthcare, May Petrarco. We'll be discussing how to successfully globalize a health and wellness brand, a challenge not to be taken lightly, and one that Foundation Consumer Healthcare has recently met and accomplished with their global healthcare brand, Breathe Right. So happy to have you both here. May, tell us a little bit more about Foundation Consumer Healthcare's journey with Breathe Right and how you came to work with Suter Group.
It's a special story for sure. So in the middle of COVID, it was April of 2020, we were conducting diligence with GSK on the Breathe Right brand. And Breathe Right had a global footprint. Foundation Consumer Healthcare was a U.S. only company. And so as we were working through diligence, we started to reach out to find who could help us go from zero to 21. And when I say zero to 21, it's zero markets to 21 international markets. Our lead investor at the time had a connection with Suta. They had worked with them in the past with other portfolio companies. And, you know, it was a match made in heaven, quite frankly, because we were, you know, a company with no physical presence. So we needed everything from start to finish, and we needed it to be turnkey. And the most valuable thing in the process was the diligence they provided us. We were able to value the international market, and quite frankly, we were able to transition it a little faster than normal because of all the work we put in up front and then execute. So, you know, it's been a great marriage. We're really fortunate. And yeah, that's kind of the backstory.
Why did you decide to seek an outsourcing partner?
Setting up a physical presence in 21 countries would have been a huge undertaking. As part of our bid to GSK, we needed to swiftly transition the market. So, and quite frankly, we wanted to focus on our core competency, which is the U.S. marketplace. So an outsourced partner made a ton of sense. The trick, though, in my mind, is finding somebody that can also support you from a regulatory standpoint, from a quality standpoint. So it's truly end-to-end, not just sales and marketing. There are a lot of like sales and marketing brokers out there, but Suta's unique in that they have a full service. And they have the right partners. They have connections with distributors in each and every market. So they've been able to make that connection for us, which is super important.
You talk about a turnkey solution. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, turnkey. It's definitely a buzzword, definitely here in Foundation, because we are a very streamlined organization. Which is a benefit to us. We can make decisions swiftly, and we needed a partner that could do the same. Turnkey to me means a lot of things. The first thing is from a financial standpoint, the distributor agreements that we set up were set up in a way where it was a buy-sell agreement. And what that means is that the distributor takes the financial ownership of the inventory and therefore the ongoing liability. And that was really important to us, again, because we are a U.S.-based company. We weren't looking to own inventory internationally because there's a lot of things that go along with that once you start owning inventory. So that's the first part of turnkey, which was super important to us. And as part of that, when the distributor actually owns the inventory, they also need to make sure they have enough stock. So that was the second part that was really important to us, is that we wanted to make sure that they were willing to have the wherewithal to hold upwards of 10 weeks of safety stock. I mean, that's a huge financial liability on their part. So that was the second thing. And then the third, from a turnkey standpoint, is everything after that, right? It's making sure that they're feeding forecasts properly, making sure that we're following any rules and regulations. You know, we have a medical device and we have a drug product, making sure that they have the right connections with the trading partners so that we can promote it. From a marketing standpoint, understanding the local, from a local standpoint, the expertise within marketing, within the market to ensure that we are placing the right advertising. So to me, that's what turnkey means. And again, it's financial, but then it's operational as well. And you know, Suda has been able to provide us with the right distributors through their alliance network to make that happen for us.
I think everything May's covered off throughout, everything she classes turnkey, is in the same way that what the Suda International Alliance and the Suda Group brings to the market, that it brings something that is completely unique. There's no other organization there that I know that can offer the same service level that we can. Having the background and the understanding of all of our international alliance partners, their capabilities, their understanding in market, allows us to be able to feed back to May and the team at Foundation to say, to understand those local nuances, just from a, as May said, from a regulatory standpoint, from a advertising standpoint, from a positioning standpoint. There's so many elements that are, even though we're in similar markets, for example, you take the examples of Spain and Portugal, they're quite similar in regards to their geography, they're quite similar in regards to sort of the countries in themselves, but the marketplaces are completely unique and completely different. You cannot just take one idea and think, okay, well, this is going to work everywhere. So having that infrastructure in place that the alliance, the Suda International Alliance brings, gives the confidence when we're talking to the likes of Foundation about a global proposition, that we know that the individual countries will be able to deliver back the expertise and the support that we believe and we communicate to Foundation that they do. And that's what they have done from day one, have been able to go through the whole process with Foundation to allow us to be able to transition very quickly into 21 international markets.
Because I think if you understanding the market dynamics and how like you used Portugal and Spain as an example,
yeah, right?
Very, very, very similar in terms of food, XYZ, yeah, but in terms of business,
yeah, completely different.
Worlds apart.
Yeah.
So it's how do you, having somebody that understands that sort of culture allows you to engage with that business quick, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, well, no, you can't do that. You can't push that.
Yeah. So it's Suda's rich understanding of the local markets.
The local nuances and the local cultural differences.
Along with the distributor and the proactive management of the distributor. So you know when you go to the table with them, you know how to present it, you know, and how to work with them to achieve success.
But I think the difference with it as well is that when you, yeah, as you said earlier, I think there is similarities between Portugal and Spain, but there is then a lot of differences as well. And I think having specialised organisations with each country who understands that local nuance and allows us to then learn from them and have a broader understanding across the globe, we're never going to know the detail. And that's the whole point of having a specialised partner in each individual country, because they're the ones who know their markets inside out.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who'll be able to tell you all the specifics in regards to regulatory or marketing requirements or restrictions. Whereas we understand it from a broader picture to be able to say, well, okay, look, we know in multiple markets there's these regulations, but we're always learning. We're always trying to understand more. So we're trying to learn every time we talk to the distributors. We're trying to learn every time that we talk to our clients to be able to say, okay, well, we know more today than we knew yesterday, but we'll know more tomorrow.
So you believe your team having that knowledge and understanding of different markets allows to prepare and engage on a quicker transition for any business that's incoming to Suda?
100%. I think that having that expertise locally, but also the broader knowledge globally, allows us, when we, as I said, we can speak with confidence. When we're talking to a new client, for example, if we're speaking to somebody in regards to a proposition saying, well, we want to be able to go into these markets, we can look at a brand, we can look at the distributors we've got. Now, there may be an occasion where it just isn't a fit for a number of different reasons. I think that's when you're looking at a brand launch. If we take it away a little bit from BreatheRight in regards to that was already established in markets and you knew it was there. If we're looking at the saline proposition, there is a competitive category there already. We know it's there. We need to appreciate that. We can't just, even though BreatheRight's the strongest the brand in its category within every market that we trade in, that a new product coming to market, there is already a competitive set there. You have competitors on shelf. You can't just expect because, oh, we're BreatheRight, we can go and do whatever we want. You have to be understanding of the competitive set, understanding of pricing matrices, what the competition are doing, what the competition are saying, what are we going to be doing or saying different, how are we going to be priced differently, to be able to, when the distributors have a conversation with the trade, is to say, well, actually, you know what, there's a reason why we should be on shelf, not only that is associated with BreatheRight, but also the fact that we're actually offering a point of difference. Our pricing, the margins are all correct, is what the distributors need to have to be able to offer back to the trade. But having a point of difference to go to market is imperative. You can't have just a new product that's the same as something else and twice the price because of the brand name. It doesn't warrant that with the trade anymore. You need to have the right story to be able to go to the trade and explain, this is why you should have us. There is a reason why we should exist alongside what you already have, or potentially replace one of your slower selling lines, because what we're offering is not only a brand that's known and well known by consumers, but also a product that's offering something completely unique and different to what's currently on shelf at the moment.
And the same applies in the US market. I mean, having a unique selling proposition is key. And that's why the saline makes a lot of sense. We have a unique aspect to that saline. But same applies in the U.S. You have to have something that, you know, a reason to believe, a unique selling proposition. You can't be a me-three brand in the marketplace. So same applies.
And I think that's the thing that I suppose, I'm not speaking for the foundation team, but I know from the visits you've had over to Europe and visited a lot of the markets with us, when we've gone out and seen the differences between Switzerland and Sweden or Greece or whichever other markets we've been to. And I think the marketplace here, there is a lot of similarities between the US and Europe in regards to the way you work and the way you work with the trade. But I think there is complete differences of the way the structure of the markets are over here comparison to how, and I think it was Steve said when we were in, might have been in Spain, it was almost like this is like the US 20 years ago with how the pharmacy channel still exists predominantly within European markets, especially where BreatheRight sold. That's not how the business is done in the US. This is done through CVS and Walmart and everybody else and the big retailers that you have there. Whereas in Europe and in Asia, it's predominantly sold through the pharmacy channel. So it is a very different positioning to the US, even the same product, same communication, but it's a different conversation with the distributors and the markets here than you may have in the US.
And that's another reason why the alliance was so important, because in Europe, and countries surrounding, it appears to be much more fragmented. You know, you're not in the US, you're dealing with the big five, and they're doing 90% of your business. So to distribute direct to them is a lot easier than to distribute to a number of pharmacy chains, much more fragmented. I think it makes the selling role, quite complicated. And that's why the alliance, again, and the turnkey solution makes so much sense for us.
And again, that's with the branding and positioning, where we hold seminars with all of our distribution partners, especially around marketing, because sharing best practice of, again, with all of our partners and us have been on this journey for the past 3 and a bit years, and everyone's still learning. We still learn every day. Yeah. Again, we're learning, okay, we'll try this different type of advertising, we'll try this type of display. And bringing all the distributors together for a half a day virtual conference to be able to share best practices from each individual market, say, well, this has worked from our point of view. This has got us out of the drawer in a pharmacy, onto shelf, and allows self-selection by consumers rather than being a consumer having to go in and ask for it. And that learning is benefited all of our distributors. And we continue to roll that out as well to make sure that everyone can learn from each other. Because everyone, even though they manage their own markets, there is similarities there and differences. but they can still pick and choose a little bit, saying, oh, well, this advertising worked well for us. Oh, okay, well, we could do that. But as you said, having consistent brand positioning and consistent marketing materials across all markets means that it can be adapted very quickly.
Yeah.
As you said earlier, they're adapted very quickly to be able to have them executed in a consistent way in the marketplace, even though there may be some slight differences.
So this goes beyond introducing a brand to a global network of distributors.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because every market has a different approach, right? You know, there are a lot of different ways to go to market globally. One is, you know, pushing from the top down. And another is allowing the local markets to provide their expertise and make recommendations based on your global footprint. And we chose the latter. And I think it was a really smart decision. Just to give you like an example, you know, we produced an advertisement and we shot it, and then we changed the language voiceover so that each and every market had the ability to have the same spot for Breathe Right, but in their local language. And the words changed because there's some nuances locally, but the product is the same. It's one global footprint, one brand packaging, one name, and from a product use standpoint, it's somewhat similar. So that's an example of, you know, where it's beyond just introducing a brand. It's figuring out how the local market runs and then leveraging the expertise of the distributors and leveraging the global brand in a way that makes a lot of sense. So that's one example that kind of comes to mind.
But I think the starting point is always, you go back to the basics of what it is, and it is, how do we sell this product in market? We had to transition out of GSK, so that came with multiple different challenges. So it came regards to brand names in individual countries. So there was various different elements that had to be looked at in individual countries where the brand name was no longer Breathe Right. It had been transitioned into a bigger GSK brand. So we had to then move that back to Breathe Right. So again, that came from a regulatory standpoint to make sure that even the consistency of branding of the name globally in 21 markets, which ranges from South America to Australasia and then throughout other markets in Europe. So there's a lot of different regulatory bodies that we have to look into in regards to the TGA in Australia or various other different sort of regulatory bodies throughout Europe. So we had to make sure that the brand names and everything else aligned and stood together. Then, as Major said, I think going into the branding part of it is trying to get that consistent messaging. It's taking 21 markets with all different languages to have a consistent message, look and feel that's been built up across the entire portfolio to make sure that on shelf, the packaging looks the same. So you've got consistencies. If you're a consumer from Spain, for example, and it goes to Australia or Germany or Sweden, you walk into a store, even though it's not in your mother tongue, you will still recognize a product on shelf because it looks pretty much exactly the same as yours did in your own market, just has a different language on it. Mm-hmm. So I think those elements, just as a starting point of before you even get into the levels of distribution of how we then sell to the trade and everything else, it's a standard distribution thing that you would work on. These elements had to be worked on and built. And as May mentioned, I think the advertising part of it is trying to utilize the best communication message that's consistent across markets. So again, you could be a foreigner in a country and see an advert on TV and recognize it just through the imagery or the look and feel that's been developed. So the consistencies of the marketing and the support behind the brand to keep that consistent is key to allowing consumers to understand who we are wherever they are in the world.
Yeah, we were really excited when we launched the consumer advertising program because, one, that we were able to launch from a consumer standpoint because we believe that's at the heart of everything. But two, we were able to do it in a way that's like a test and learn and have so many efficiencies and roll it out to multiple markets. So test and learn is always best. And we had so many good results in a number of markets. So then we could continue to reinvest. And that's another thing that I think is great about Suda is, you know, you treat our bank account like it's your own. And you understand the need for return on investment. And if there isn't a return, we've got to pull back and pivot. And I think you guys have done a really nice job with that. Again, that's what we mean by turnkey. Like when I talk about from a financial standpoint, you know, the inventory, but it's owning the full P&L, having full P&L ownership. And so I think that was really important to us.
Yeah, no, and it is a key where we look at our business planning process and everything we do on a regular basis with all our marketplaces is looking at, okay, if somebody isn't performing to what we expected and we invest behind them to allow them to grow the brand. And there is challenges in markets out there, and we know there's a financial crisis in a lot of countries at the moment, a lot of financial challenges for consumers. So people are reining back in, but there is an investment level that's adjacent to the business proposition.
Yeah.
And we know that, again, when we talk to you regularly about this, is saying, look, well, this market isn't performing. You think we're going to miss it. What do we want to do? Do we want to carry on with the investment level? Which, in fairness to you and the foundation team, is you've backed the distributor to say, look, no, we understand that it's challenging out there. Mm-hmm. So we're willing to, even though they're not going to quite get to where we thought they were going to, we're going to continue to invest behind them and support them in the development of the budgets we agreed.
Yeah.
Which is having a client like you that we work with is great for both me and Sergio in regards to the work that we do. And as much a challenge, as we said earlier, we're in this together and we're here fighting to make sure that we deliver the best results possible for the business. And having the support from you and the team, just it makes it, doesn't make it easy, unfortunately, but it does make it easier.
Agreed. Yeah, our goals are aligned, which is, you know, important in any partnership. So, and we're fortunate we have investors that believe in the brand. We bought the brand to grow the brand, not to sit on it and harvest it, like many other large companies may do. But we actually want to support it. And we're hoping to double it in the next couple of years. With all of the again the claims work, the line extensions in adjacent categories, and then entering new markets. So, you know, this is an important brand in our portfolio. And again, it has broad shoulders. That was one of the exciting things when we bought it, you know. And you know, you talked a little bit about like the diligence up front. And the diligence up front was, understanding the P&L, right? How much money can we make? Because our go-to-market strategy is different than GSK. But second was conducting the research and just understanding, like, what does Breathe Right mean to consumers in these markets? Understanding that, is there opportunity to grow? And that was part of our valuation and how we priced the deal. So, it's finding a partner to be in it with you from start all the way through is a huge advantage.
What are the plans for Breathe Right in the future? What are the next steps?
Well, I'm happy to report that Breathe Right globally is over $100 million in sales, which is, enormous. And we're in 21 markets. Our next steps, Breathe Right has broad shoulders. The name allows you to extend into adjacent categories. And we know that a lot of users of Breathe Right are also users of nasal sprays or other therapies. The fact that Breathe Right is drug-free allows for that. It's an interesting product from that standpoint, and a lot of concomitant usage. So, number one is absolutely continue to line extend and leverage the power of the brand name into adjacent categories. The second is to penetrate markets that haven't been tapped into to continue to extend the brand name. Number three is from a clinical and from a claim standpoint, we're doing market research so that we can tell the consumer how the product works, why it's important, and leverage different usage occasions. So to me, it's not just about nasal congestion or sleeping. It's about breathing better and what that means in terms of quality of sleep or quality of your day or quality from a performance standpoint. And so that's really kind of the next step from a marketing and claim standpoint. So again, I go product, market, and then from a claim standpoint, kind of where we can extend, to help the consumer understand how the product works.
And I think from that aspect as well, I think when we're the benefit we have with the Alliance, that when we're looking at the saline spray or range extensions, or we can get with the expertise our partners have in the markets, we're able to go out to them and say, look, what do you think of this opportunity? What does your market look like? We get local understanding and local knowledge on a far broader discussion of where we're looking at potential pack transformations going through in the next few years, of getting that local understanding of, okay, what are the challenges of this packaging within your market? It may be different from one market to another, but the benefits we have with the Alliance is we have that very special expertise and knowledge base to be able to give us very robust feedback, whether it's from a consumer level or whether it's from their own personal and trade level and their expertise in the marketplaces. And I think coming on from the white space point of view as well, is the benefit, again, with the Alliance is we know if we go to another market that we're not currently represented in, we have a distribution partner in place who is the same as the distribution partners we're already using with BreatheRight. So Foundation know from a suitor point of view is that the people that we're going to bring to the table who will be able to deliver a new market launch will be as capable and as good as the great partners we have in place who are already delivering great results on the BreatheRight business.
If you guys had one last message for the people that are listening to us today, what would that message be?
From my standpoint, it would be that, Suda is not a group that just sits back and provides advice. They proactively manage our distributors. They understand the local markets. They roll up their sleeves and get the job done, which I think is unique, because it's what's required, quite frankly. We're dealing with a lot of different issues in each and every market. And if you're not on top of it, it can definitely get away from you. The second thing, so not advice, it's more of a proactive management. Number two is transparency of information, which is super important. I'm the head of finance and operations here at Foundation. So understanding what's going on and having that level of transparency, whether it's good news or bad news, allows me to do my job better. Bad news is just as important, as good news is, because I can make some adjustments on our side, on the U.S. side of the business, if there's a deficit. So, I think they've been a really good partner from a transparency standpoint. And number three, because of our structure, the way that we, are so streamlined, number three was we were really just looking to have like one or two touch points. We only have a few individuals on our side that manage the rest of world business. So we wanted to keep it from that standpoint as well, very turnkey and streamlined. We wanted a few individuals we could go to that were managing the business from the top. And Suda's been able to provide that to us. So again, proactive in management, from with all of the distributors, transparency, and turnkey and streamlined management approach, I would say. So, we've been very fortunate to find this marriage, and we're kind of, we're looking forward to continuing not only to grow BreatheRight, but also acquire more assets together.
I think from my point of view, I think it's very much do your research. I think with anything like this, as May touched on earlier, is that doing the initial research before the brand was even acquired was a key element to validate almost the decision, saying, well, we have had the research done to validate what we're doing. It isn't an easy process. Launching a brand internationally is not easy. There is so many different variables that you have to take into consideration. Having a local expert in that market and a distributor who can deliver everything that you would want to deliver yourself in your home market is key. And they are difficult people to find. I've worked in the industry or worked in international business for 26 years. And there's a lot of okay distributors out there, but very few that are very, very good. And I think the benefit we have from the International Alliance is having some of the very best distributors in each individual country that we spend our time to understand exactly what they can do and what they can't do. So it means that when we are speaking to Foundation, when we're speaking to other clients, that we've got full confidence when we say we can deliver this in multitude of markets, whether it's 10, 15, 20, 100. We could do it with confidence to know that every partner that we're introducing our new clients or current clients to will offer the same messaging and the same capabilities within each individual market.
Yeah. And one other thing to add, I think that makes this relationship so special, and I touched on it, is that we closed on the Breathe Right acquisition in the middle of COVID. I think we went 2 years without a face-to-face.
That was us personally.
Yeah, which is pretty extraordinary, you know, that we were able to transition 21 markets, 120 SKUs in a matter of, you know, 5 to 6 months, get them on our books, get the distributors signed up, and start placing advertising swiftly after that. Without ever meeting face-to-face. Certainly, you know, the face-to-face contact since then has been just, you know, has made the relationship even stronger. I'm a firm believer in, you know, building relationships. You know, doing it virtually for 2 years was quite difficult. But honestly, it was very successful. So I think that's just a testament to Suda and the group that they had in place running our business. And again, the proactive management. If you're not proactive with communication and everything, it could have easily have fallen apart. So yeah. I think that was another really big part of this transition and a big part of our relationship.
No, I think it's been through choppy waters, let's say. We've had a lot of challenges, a lot of sleepless nights, late nights, continual late nights.
Early mornings for us.
And it never stops, but we work closely as a team. I think we see ourselves as part of the Foundation team. Yes, we're employed by Suta and we work for Suta, but our roles and the team that I work within Suta are all dedicated to the Foundation business. So we have a team of people working every day to deliver the Rest of the World project for Foundation. And I think that's where we see ourselves as part of the Foundation team. We work closely, speak daily most of the time, to be able to talk through, as you said, good news is great, bad news is not great, but it's as important to make sure that we're all aligned on what we can or can't do and how we can deliver the results that Foundation want, that Suta want, and everybody's aligned with, okay, we understand the challenge there, but how do we work as a team, both Foundation and Suta, to overcome the challenges we have and actually get to where we want the business to be?
Yeah, agreed. And once I figured out that I could put Teams on my phone versus my computer, that was big, especially with the early morning wake-ups. it was a success. So agreed.
Well, I think that brings us to a close on this interview. I'd like to thank you both for joining us. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sergio.
Thanks.
Cheers, man.